Must be Wednesday. Yeah. Jeff Bennett here, Edge of Darkness, on a Wednesday installment. Your health, your choice. It's what it needs to be. I had a relatively short night last night. I turned in early. I slept for many, many, many hours. I woke up, I don't know what time, 2, 3, 4 o'clock. I have no idea. And I wound up moving to a different bedroom. Moved in with my wife, which is something I rarely do, but I'm doing it more because I am having a difficult time being by myself right now. A lot of reasons for it. Not going to bore you with it. That's not the purpose of this program. But I had to be up early. I had to go to my doctor's office to have an interesting discussion with him. And it has to do with some sores that are in my head. Not in my head, my brain, on the outside of my head. And we've been kind of talking about it on and off. And I thought originally that it might have been related to... I call it Skittles, whatever the case may be. It doesn't make any difference. And it's not. But we're going to, he's going to refer me to somebody. We're going to take a look at it and see. So these things eat at me. I have been up since 5:30, working in one form or another nonstop. Ate a good breakfast this morning. And been working nonstop ever since. Part of it is because I really had not had a lot of stuff that I'd published on the Kelly site for about a week. And I got to it. I've got a bunch of stuff I've saved and just finally got around to it. We're going to share some of these things with you tonight. And it's kind of a good and the bad and the ugly, as it were. But there's an awful lot of goodness that can come out of this program. And I hope you'll stay with us. One of the things that we take a look at is, and let's face it, we're a lot of you are sitting down right now at dinner, or maybe you just had dinner, or maybe an hour from now you're going to sit down together and have your dinner together, or maybe you're at work and you got a brown bag, or you got a lunchbox, and you're going to be eating some processed foods. We also look at ultra-processed foods. And we've got to discuss and understand the adverse effects of these so-called ultra-processed foods. Hamburgers, hot dogs, French fries, popcorn, soda pop, pizza, peanut butter, tacos. It goes on and on and on. There's a team has been led by researchers from the Université Sorbonne in Paris and also the Université Paris-Cité. And they have summarized where we are in our understanding of the adverse health effects related to ultra-processed foods with some suggestions of how to move forward with this information. Now, in their paper, which I'm going to give you access to, Ultra-Processed Foods and Cardiometabolic Health, Public Health Policies to Reduce Consumption Cannot Wait, according to the report, because there's convincing evidence that processed foods have adverse health risks. Efforts to reduce, change, or eliminate these food formulations lack sufficient support. Of course they're going to lack sufficient support. It comes down to economics for those who are producing them. And yet increased evidence links the consumption of ultra-processed foods to various health issues, altered lipoprotein profiles, obesity, type 2 diabetes, cardiovascular diseases. And while many studies have connected the effects of diet on health, the researchers note that this is often from a nutrient-based perspective. And that perspective focuses on total fat, saturated fat, dietary cholesterol, calories, sugar, salt, dietary fiber, vitamins, minerals. But the problem with that approach is it does not address or differentiate the intensity of processing of food formulations. In other words, eliminating a known health risk from data collection. They don't care. The manufacturers don't give a damn about eliminating a known health risk. Let me give you an example. And this is one that's been given in the paper. The nutritional makeup of a variety of vegetable soups may be regarded as the same in a nutritional study, regardless of whether they were homemade versus industrial canned or dehydrated and processed to contain food additives and flavors with industrial substances that's usually found in our domestic kitchens. And so to clinicians and consumers alike, vegetable soup in a study is vegetable soup. And the distinctions between healthy diet choices and junk food disguised as healthy are not that easily determined. More than 70 long-term prospective epidemiological studies cited in the paper have consistently linked consuming ultra-processed foods with weight gain, increased risk of various diseases, particularly cardiometabolic conditions. Also been suggested that these foods meet the criteria to be labeled as addictive substances using the same standards set for tobacco products. Oh, a warning label on vegetable soup might help consumers make the right choices for their dietary needs, but frankly, most people aren't going to read the darn labels anyway. That's reality. Now, the authors of this report recommend that a combination of government policies and regulations to promote the production and availability of minimally processed foods, limitations on the marketing of ultra-processed foods, and consumer education about the adverse effects of ultra-processed foods. All of these things are needed to address the issue. And the report highlights that research, specifically publicly funded research, independent of the foods industry, is needed to identify specific processes and substances contributing to these adverse effects. Some candidate toxins are already known to be present, things like furans, heterocyclic amines, polycyclic aromatic hydrocarbons, acrolein, advanced glycation end products, industrial trans fatty acids, acrylamide. Ultra-processed foods also tend to have longer shelf lives. That's a positive for reducing food waste. And yet that can result in the leaching of contaminants such as phthalates, bisphenols, mineral oils, microplastics from the packaging or interior lining of cans. And studies have suggested that these contaminants alone may have carcinogenic properties with increased risk of cardiovascular disease, obesity, insulin resistance, and type 2 diabetes. And my friends, the many food additives in ultra-processed foods may also have detrimental effects. There are studies in animal models and humans cited in the paper which have suggested harmful health effects for some of the roughly 330 additives currently approved for use in Europe. Who knows what they're doing in this country? I mean, you know, look what Bill Gates is up to. He wants to put us on plastic food for the rest of our lives. There are a lot of things to consider here. The article I share with you right now is published at Dr. Kelly's Victory Over Cancer, or technically drkelly.net. And this particular article is entitled Time to Inform the Public About the Adverse Effects of Ultra-Processed Foods. There is a very good image that you'll have to look at carefully. It probably breaks down much of what we discussed here in simpler terms for most of you. there is also a single link in this article. It's in the second paragraph. The two words are their paper. This is where you can get a far better understanding of the ultra-processed foods. Please do so. It is for your benefit. Now, to some degree, we're going to be dealing with a little bit of the good, the bad, and the ugly here tonight. And I did not mean to take this much time on one of the uglies, but I've got another one I got to do. Dealing with something called PFAS. That's not the way it's pronounced, but it's going to make it simpler for the listener. Forever chemicals found in virtually every room in our homes. Forever chemicals raise the risk of the fastest growing cancer in America by 56%. Certain forever chemicals may raise the risk of one of the fastest growing cancers in America. Doctors from Mount Sinai Hospital in New York tested blood samples from people with and without thyroid cancer. Found patients with the disease were 56% more likely to have levels of PFAS chemicals in their system. That's capital P, F is in Frank, A is in Apple, S is in, I won't use that word, Sam. PFAS are dubbed forever chemicals because they are virtually impossible for the body to break down. And they've been used to make thousands of everyday products since the 1940s, from non-stick cookware to raincoats. Thyroid cancers have become increasingly common since then, spiking 240% between 1973 and 2002. Oh, but the leading explanation for this has been improved diagnostic abilities that allow doctors to catch diseases early. That's good. That's nice. The chemical studied here is called NPFOS, which is most commonly used as a stain repellent in our clothing and carpeting, as well as a grease-resistant coating for food packaging. Now, the Mount Sinai study adds valuable evidence to support suspected links between PFAS exposure and thyroid cancer. Now, I've had thyroid issue for some 22-odd years now. But as time has gone by, my prescription has decreased. There's been no sign of cancer. That's good. Just a disrupted thyroid, that's all. Dr. Lauren Petrick, a public health professor at the Icahn School of Medicine at Mount Sinai, co-author of her study, by the way, said that, to our knowledge, this is the first human study to look at associations between PFAS exposure and the risk of thyroid cancer diagnosis. PFAS chemicals disrupt the function of the endocrine system, of which the thyroid gland is a part. Well, the researchers noted that PFAS in water is a major source of exposure, but does not detail how each person's blood levels got so high. And when PFAS enters the body, either through food and water that people eat and drink, or by inhaling contaminated air, it can distribute throughout the body in tissues and organs. We've got a very interesting image published with this article as well, showing how homes are crawling with PFAS. Microwave popcorn bags, fish, tap water, wall paint, electronics, your television, etc., dust, guitar strings, varnish, furniture, cell phones, carpet and pad, nail polish, toilet paper, cleaning products, plumber's tape, dairy, pizza boxes, candy wrappers. It goes on and on and on. All these things can cause increased miscarriage risks, reduce fertility, increase risk of some cancers. Some PFAS compounds can bind to thyroid hormone receptors in order to mimic or block our body's natural hormones, which knock the system out of balance. PFAS can also disrupt the release of thyroid hormones, which are crucial for regulating the body's What's that word? Metabolism. That's a word you've heard me use a lot over the years. When the system for managing and producing hormones is disrupted, my friends, the result can be unfettered cell growth and replication, a hallmark of cancer growth, by the way. PFAS also cause inflammation in the body, leading to DNA damage in thyroid cells, and this can result in genetic mutations that drive the creation of cancer cells. And so the latest finding expands on previous research into links between thyroid problems and PFAS, and specifically into the effects on pregnant women and their unborn babies. And the latest research uses blood samples from 88 adults with thyroid cancer, 88 healthy people that had been collected from 2008 to 2021 as part of the medical school's expansive collection of patient health information and blood and serum samples. And all of the study subjects, whose average age was 46, by the way, came from the New York metropolitan area, which researchers considered a major benefit because it gave them a diverse ethnic population. They got a diverse ethnic population, all right. I read an article yesterday, and I reviewed it again today. They've got so many illegals from Venezuela that are up in New York now that the biggest income factor is the women have become hookers. Illegals. Another story. So thyroid cancer affects the gland at the front part of the neck that makes hormones to regulate the body's metabolism, the heart rate, the blood pressure, our temperature. And all of this is part of the body's endocrine system, which PFAS chemicals have been shown to disrupt due to their ability to mimic thyroid hormones and prevent the production or transport of hormones. And so, an estimated 44,000 Americans will be diagnosed with thyroid cancer this year. And at least 2,100 of them will die. The survival rate for most types of thyroid cancer when detected early is high, about 98%. But once the cancer has spread to other parts of the body, that survival rate dips to about 70%. And more than 80% of the people with thyroid cancer has papillary thyroid cancer or papillary thyroid cancer, which is the most common variety with the best survival rate. 5% had follicular thyroid cancer, which is still survivable, but typically more aggressive. 10% had a type of thyroid cancer of unknown origin. And yet some of them may have had the most advanced and aggressive variety, anaplastic thyroid cancer. They tested the blood plasma samples for 8 different types of PFAS chemicals. And when levels of NPFOS in blood plasma were doubled due to exposure, the risk of receiving a thyroid cancer diagnosis ballooned 56%. Dr. Petrick said that the results of this study provide further confirmation for the PFAS health crisis and underline the need to reduce and hopefully one day eliminate PFAS exposure. How are they going to do that? You're going to change the whole world lives, conducts themselves, the way they live, the way their homes are done, the kind of foods they eat? This is not simple, people. Not simple at all. Well, just so you know, PFAS chemicals have been used since the early 20th century in the manufacturing of raincoats, water repellent, the nonstick cookware. It's profound. They also line help up making firefighting foam, food packaging, coat carpeting, to repel stains. They've even been used in the manufacture of children's toys. Their ever presence in daily life means the chemicals leach into the environment, such as when you scrub a frying pan clean in the sink. PFAS have been found in drinking water supplies all over this country as a result of tainted runoff from chemical producing plants and widespread use of pesticides. In certain parts of the country, like Brunswick County, North Carolina, nearby Fayetteville, have seen disturbing clusters of cancers in their communities that are believed to be linked to a nearby plant formerly run by PFAS manufacturer DuPont. You know that name, don't you? Because there's evidence to show that bad actors, including DuPont and 3M, knew about the deleterious effects of exposure to the very chemicals they were producing as far back as the 1960s. Concerns were raised repeatedly for decades. In the 1970s, DuPont-funded Haskell Laboratory found that PFAS was highly toxic when inhaled and moderately toxic when ingested. Tests on dogs in the same decade show that animals that ingested a single dose of PFAS died up to 2 days later. In 1980, DuPont also learned that 2 of 8 employees who had been pregnant while working in their factories gave birth to babies with deformities. But the company didn't reveal the findings. Instead, they said the following year that we know of no evidence of birth defects caused by PFAS at DuPont. And then they went on to assure employees that PFAS was no more toxic than table salt. But rather than remove the chemicals from their manufacturing process, the company sat on that information. They allowed risky products to enter people's homes. And cover-ups of this type have been linked to the action of big tobacco companies to downplay the risk of smoking for decades in order to protect their profits. DuPont asserts it does not make or produce PFOS or any other forever chemical called PFOA. And its use of PFAS, or more broadly, is limited, they claim. And yet DuPont had forever been producing this chemical called C8. And they've been doing it since the 1980s. And C8 is the same chemical compound as PFOA. So they're all lying sacks of crap. And somehow they just keep getting away with murder. Dr. Petra closes by saying, today it's nearly impossible to avoid PFAS in our daily activities. We hope these findings bring awareness of the severity of these forever chemicals. Everyone should discuss their PFAS exposure with their treating physician to determine their risk, to get screened if appropriate. In addition, we need to continue industry changes to eliminate PFAS altogether. Column title is PFAS, Forever Chemicals, found in virtually every room in our home. And all these things raise the risk of the fastest growing cancer in America, my friends, by 56%. Now, that's all the bad news for the program. But the good news is you've got the ability to become educated about it, to gain knowledge about it, to be able to intelligently carry on conversations with your medical practitioner, your doctor. It's interesting, my friend, Dr. Fred, is listening tonight. And he has another doctor who's not had a chance to tune into the program in the past who apparently is listening tonight. We welcome you. Don't misunderstand. I am not here to, excuse the term, but crap on the medical profession. But I'm raising more and more questions about the way the medical profession is conducting itself. Not every single individual. Fred and I have had long talks about this. I've done many intense programs about this. Sometimes it's all about profit for some. Time allowing, we'll discuss that a little bit tonight before we bail out of here. I think we're going to pass on a dance with Kim tonight, okay? As much as I'd love to dance with Kim. I've got to keep on moving forward on this thing. Listen, once I get rocking and rolling, I can't stop, man. Let's give you some good stuff to take a look at. Let's talk about a cancer-preventing vegetable. One that can also protect against diabetes and heart disease. Now, I know when I start telling you what this thing is all about, you're going to say, oh, no. It's an onion. Oh, not those cheap little yellow cruddy onions. No, these are red onions. And you know why? Because they're full of health-boosting compounds. It's the ones my wife prefers to buy, and I like them. Research has suggested that eating red onions could help prevent cancer. And that vegetable, which is a cornerstone of dishes and food cultures from all over the world, is full of so many chemicals that can kill cancer cells. Now, that according to scientists. Now, eventually, the discovery could lead to cancer-busting pills being developed that are based on the internal chemistry of an onion. I'll take the onion. I'm sick of the pills. Because if I do that, then I'm going to have to go turn on Brandy. What's her name? And play, take a little pill. No, we're not going to do that tonight. So people with the highest level of consumption of the red onion have a lower chance of several types of cancer, including ovarian, bowel, and breast cancer. Quercetin and anthocyanins. These are things that give the onion variety, its distinctive red color. They're cancer-busting compounds found within the vegetable. Now, anthocyanin is instrumental in providing color to fruits and vegetables. Kind of makes sense that the red onions, which are the darkest in color, would have the most cancer-fighting power. And the study was the first of its kind by a gentleman named Abdul Monem Murian, the PhD student at the University of Guelph in Canada. And alongside of his engineering professor, Suresh Nithirajan, found that red onions were especially potent when it came to fighting cancer. And a key component of Mediterranean cooking for thousands of years, the relatively low levels of the disease in the area could be attributable to the regular use of red onion in their dishes. So whether used as a garnish or mixed with salad or stirred into a multitude of recipes, yeah, onions are a prized ingredient in many parts of the world. And they can even be and often are used raw. The vegetable's cancer-fighting credentials are not the only medical utility that they have. They have also been linked with lessening your chances of and fighting heart disease and diabetes. And the researcher said that despite containing a huge amount of the quercetin, onions were still not recognized as a superfood, despite all of their health-boosting properties. In laboratory experiments, colon cancer cells were placed in close contact with quercetin, which was extracted from different onion varieties. And it was stated that we found that onions are excellent at killing cancer cells. Onions activate pathways that encourage cancer cells to undergo cell death. And they promote an unfavorable environment for cancer cells, and they disrupt communication between cancer cells, which inhibits growth. And this root vegetable was also shown to be adept at killing breast cancer cells. So the next port of call, according to Mr. Murian, was to trial the cancer-fighting properties of onions in people. And a new extraction technique eliminates the need for chemicals, and this makes the quercetin compound more suitable for consumption. Other methods leave a toxic residue, which is then ingested in the food. But Professor Netherajan said that this new method that we tested to be effective only uses superheated water in a pressurized container. Developing a chemical-free extraction method is important because it means we can use onions' cancer-fighting properties in nutraceuticals and in pill form. Yeah, think about this. Red onions, they're grown all over the world and are especially prized in Asian and Mediterranean dishes. Experts suggest that eating red onions raw is preferable because the cooking process can kill off with some of the beneficial elements. Diabetic people are a cohort that should regularly eat the vegetables because they help increase insulin levels. Onions are also fibrous, which means they can help people with digestive issues. A single onion contains roughly 1.5 grams of fiber, but that is not where the health-boosting effects of the root vegetable ends. Flavonoid compounds, the chemicals that give the onions their striking color, can reduce bad cholesterol in overweight people who are at risk of heart disease. Flavonoids, of course, also have anti-inflammatory abilities, which can help ease arthritis. Fighting cholesterol, helping to fight off heart disease, and discouraging clot formation. Onions, truly, are a superfood. Cancer-preventing vegetable. Posted on drkelly.net. Now, we've got two other issues we're going to get to, but before we do, I want to share something with you that became a very intense project for me today. As many of you know, my 7-odd years work with Dr. Kelly became a real eye-opener for me. I'm still very deeply involved. I had a lengthy call from his son the other night who's had a minor stroke, but he's doing quite well. And there's an article I've been sitting on for a very long period of time. I was not aware of the fact that I'd never published it. And it's entitled, Warning of Fraud, Questions and Answers. Now, I'm not going to share this with you. Now you are going to have to deal with some responsibility for yourself. I wrote a foreword to it. And I stated the following is a lengthy interview done with Dr. Kelly years ago. At this time, our records do not indicate who was the interviewer. However, I find that the interviewer was quite deliberate and specific with a very wide range of questions, which I found to be quite admirable. And by the way, I must add this, that this interview took place at a live function. And there were many people who would come up with some questions that they would share with the interviewer that he would pass on to Kelly. But as I conclude with my introduction on the website, do keep in mind that due to the apparent age of this interview, probably during the mid-70s, there was much that changed and continued to change as Kelly would continue to fine-tune his protocols and how he dealt with the issues at hand. And as I state in the closing of my introduction, just remember, you are or will become what you eat. The first question asked is, what does a person do who is unable to tolerate raw foods? Kelly's comment was, of course, you're going to have to cook them and take an overabundance of enzymes. And it begins. This is an amazingly lengthy, very, very lengthy interview. A lot of it is food related. A lot of it is not. It's interesting to me how much of it deals more with our metabolic situation. The good, the bad, and the uglies that we need to be eating. I strongly urge you spend the time, and I had sent an email to Dr. Fred earlier in the day, and an hour later I sent him another email because I made a decision that I had to go back and do some further work on this thing. I, just for appearances, We added some images. I added some color to it. I found a couple of typos that we took care of. It is imperative. I don't want to try to be two different voices here. I don't want to be an interview and be Dr. Kelly. So I really, truly want you to spend some time reading through this. It will answer many frustration things. It's going to raise some questions, too, because once again, because of the time that this interview is done, there's been some changes. There's been some additions. There's been some subtractions. But at least it gives you the basis of all that Kelly was involved with. I think he will be amazingly impressed with where he was at that time. And although there will be some changes, some things we're going to talk about in the future. So please go spend the time and read it. Kelly, warning of fraud, questions and answers. And my God, people, there's so much fraud out there. It is sickening. Well, let's go down one more interesting path. I refer to it as a good news path. We get into more, to some degree, food-type discussion. Medicinal herbs and their phytocompounds are being increasingly considered to be helpful in alternative cancer treatments. Many clinical studies have reported the benefits of herbal medicines on cancer patients' survival, immune modulation, quality of life. Wow, isn't that interesting? Aren't these the kind of things that Kelly was involved with some 40-odd years ago? But nobody wanted to listen to him. He was just a dentist. There are some clinical trials being used to test these herbal medicines in combination with conventional therapeutics. And the studies investigated the use of herbal medicines for various cancers, the development of randomized controlled trials, or RCTs. So let's talk a little bit about them. Clinical usage, the herbal medicine, anti-cancer effects. For breast cancer, though any significant role for vitamins and selenium in preventing breast cancer has not been diagnosed yet, some anti-cancer activities have been reflected in vitro. In a controlled trial, some patients with invasive or non-invasive breast cancer received small doses of vitamin A preparation. And within some months, a significant reduction in recurrence of local breast cancer in premenopausal women was found. Of course, then there's phytoestrogens. They're classified as water-soluble isoflavones and lipophilic lignans. And Fred, just let your buddy know that I don't necessarily pronounce these words right because I haven't been trained to do so. And it's all Greek to me, or Roman, or something. All right, so all this stuff is found in high abundance in soybeans and lignans. Isoflavones are also found in linseeds, wheat, fruit, flax seeds, some vegetables. Soy-derived phytoestrogens are advised in treating breast cancer through undergoing tamoxifen therapy. Some traditional Chinese medicines constitute several anti-breast cancer agents, which can be classified into six categories: alkaloids, coumarins, flavonoids, polyphenols, terpenoids, quinine, and nardesunate. And such compounds have been taken as health foods for decades and recommended for routine public use. That's breast cancer. It's a fast look at lung cancer. Lungs are the most common site of metastases of tumors. Conventional chemotherapy treatments have limited benefits due to the severe toxicity of different anti-cancer agents like gemcitabine, docetaxel, paclitaxel, vinorelbine, etoposide. That becomes so interesting. So interesting. Chemotherapy. Oh, that's right. It was just a few weeks ago. We did a several days commentary on the dangers of chemotherapy and radiation, didn't we? I still feel strongly about that. Recent research suggests that some herbal medicines, phytochemicals, have lower toxicity and can potentially benefit from formulating a lung cancer therapy strategy. Some traditional Chinese herbal plants are also bearing positive results in treating lung cancer. Hey, not everything that comes out of China is bad. There is a global movement to try to get this thing under control. These are the reasons behind the high proportion of patients, 77%, who opt for herbal medicines alongside conventional treatment for lung cancer to increase their anti-cancer effects. What about for liver fibrosis and cancer? Liver fibrogenesis is a process in which secretion and gradual decrease and degradation of extracellular materials take place, which can happen due to the activation of hepatic stellate cells, causing death due to... These words drive me crazy. Hepatocellular carcinoma, or HCC. But unluckily, there's no clinically satisfactory or successful therapies for such patients. Herbal medicines are the only way out to figure out a strategy against liver fibrosis and HCC, and some medicinal herbs are being used as a treatment in China, Japan, and Asia. Why not America? Maybe we'll get to that before the end of the program. In 2007, a scientist from his research provided a systematic review of the mechanisms of action of medicinal herbal compounds like oxymetrine and selvianolic and acid B and curcumin in the treatment of carcinogenesis and hepatic fibrogenesis. More future trials similar to the present ones are needed to address the specificity of herbal compositions in inhibiting or suppressing carcinomas, metabolic liver cancers. But what about herbal treatment for pancreatic cancer? That's another program we concentrated on recently, very heavily. What is pancreatic cancer? Begins in the tissues of the pancreas, an organ in your abdomen that lies horizontally behind the lower part of your stomach. And the pancreas secretes enzymes that aid digestion and hormones that help regulate the metabolism of sugars. But pancreatic cancer often has a poor prognosis, even when diagnosed early, and spreads rapidly. Pancreatic cancer? Oh, that's right. Dr. William D. Kelly was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer and given less than 2 months to live. That was 1967, 68. He didn't pass till 2005 and did not die of cancer. Pancreatic cancer is seldom detected in its early stages, which is a major reason why it's a leading cause of cancer death. So we deal with something called smoothened, SMO, a compound of the sonic hedgehog formalin, which signals pathway are being evaluated to explore its potential in treating pancreatic cancers. Oh, God, here we go. So we once again go running back to the medical community, even though the works of John Beard and the Gerson family and Dr. Kelly and Nick Gonzalez and others have proven that there are alternative means to deal with pancreatic cancer that have been successful. But don't get the medical community to lay down for it, because they're not going to do it. Oh, yes, there are Chinese herbs being used alongside chemotherapy or radiotherapy, all those two dangerous things. You don't believe me? You don't think that chemotherapy and radiation are dangerous? If you've got some serious interests, you don't have to listen to me, even though I did a complete program on chemotherapy several weeks ago. If you go to drkelly.net, and over in the right-hand column, you will see a complete listing of our categories. Well, let's see. Take a look at category number 3. It's called danger, radiation. You go down toward the bottom of the list. It's the third from the bottom. It's called warning chemotherapy. This is what they want to improve the efficacy of cancer therapy? Such practices have been highly frowned upon by many Western physicians for different reasons. There's a need for increased consultation, coordination with physicians to understand the use of certain herbal medicines as adjuvants to traditional therapy. Let me share the words with you from Dr. Ronald Klatz, explaining, and I have put this in bold letters, how many people in eye positions don't want to cure cancer. Because it comes from the fear associated with losing a living if a cure is discovered. Because such cases are a fierce representation of how power has taken over the health and the well-being to exploit people. Those words coming from a doctor. And I'm talking with more and more doctors who are beginning to have more and more of the same mentality. I shared with you on yesterday's program about some 25-odd percent of the people that are in medical school today are now begin to question why they're there. And they don't believe they're going to continue and move forward. So let's go back to this topic. Those who cannot afford these treatments have options left over believing the alternative treatments for cancer. For those who can afford, there is no escape from the adverse effects that come along with the so-called modern-day treatments. Come on, people. Read about how cancer is already a sign of a weakened immune system and how chemotherapy attacks it repeatedly and acts as a poison for the patient. Natural cancer cures are nothing but the lifestyle that's been lately foregone from our lives. The comfort from technology and our busy lives are to blame, people. Lately, we've got a generation who least cares about nature and the blessings of natural remedies to chronic diseases. Oh, no, man, they'd rather run down to the guy in the van down at the corner, pick up a little, Who Head John, whatever you want to call it. What's that other stuff I did the article about a couple of months ago? Fentanyl. Oh, yeah. That'll really take care of you, huh? Sure. Centuries ago, various plants and herbs were used as medicines and disease therapeutics in most human cultures. When modern pharma took over, we now least care about the traditional treatments that saved people in ancient times. And yet there's many scriptures that talk about the medicinal properties of food, the way it is consumed and its impact on our bodies. There is a need to instill that traditional mindset, inculcate lifestyle and food habits that naturally work to boost our bodies. As my friends, the human body is the most complex creation of God. The self-healing capacity of a human body should never be underestimated and allow proper space to work. There are many therapies and ancient practices that the pharma and medical industry may want to keep under the veil, under wraps. But as human beings, it is our responsibility to explore our roots, treat our bodies in the best possible manner. And if you're committed to living a healthy lifestyle and want to start today, check out some excellent natural remedies for chronic diseases and cancers. And as our author concludes, till next time, stay healthy, stay happy. You know, there are a lot of things going on in this country and around the world. I have spoken with you, and I've been very open about my constant state of depression. It's not because of the loss of my son, although it certainly upsets me, but he's with me every day, and I'm with him every day. It's not the heart attack, although the almost 18 months or 14 months of that damn catheter caused me nothing but grief and aggravation. I'm getting older. Things are going on. My mental situation, my mental cases are not all that good because I'm depressed. I'm angry. I've shared this with you 28, almost 29 years on the air, and I ask to God, wonder for what? Who have I reached? Who have I made a difference in their lives, the way they think, act, react? How many are out there trying to make a difference in their homes, their communities, whatever the case may be? My best friend in New York openly admits he's an absolute liberal, a New York liberal. I don't understand how people like that can just not see the reality of what's going on. And so we begin to deal with emotional situations, depression, anger, in some cases hatred, dissatisfaction, disgust. All of these things affect our well-being. And my friends, I may or may not have shared this with you, and we're not going to have the time tonight. But I'm going to guide you to an article that is well worth reading, because I'm afraid that the circumstances I bring up to you are affecting each and every one of us. The name of the article is Your Emotional Intelligence Affecting Your Well-Being? I look at the picture of the woman sitting in front of her laptop computer with her mouse. Next to it is her iPhone, holding her head up. She's holding her head in her hands. You can tell she's frustrated, depressed. This article concentrates on discussing these things, talking about some different studies. There's a couple of links in here. Talking about stressed individuals, how we demonstrate lower emotional intelligence. I don't think that's a problem. I've got the intelligence. I'm not sure about the emotional intelligence. Can I adopt to appropriate positive methods and techniques needed to minimize the negative effects of stress on my physical and mental health? Two questions I ask myself quite often. David Goleman once said, the ability to perceive and use and understanding and manage and handle emotions. You want to take a look at this. It's well worth the read. It's not lengthy. But it will raise questions. Which reminds me, it's time to go. Thanks for being with us tonight. Thank you for allowing me into your home. And until we get together again, with glass lifted on high, I say to health with you. Good night.
It brings back a night of tropical splendor. It brings back a memory evergreen. I'm with you once more under the stars. The shore and orchestras playing, and even the palms seem to be swaying when they begin the beginning. again is past all endeavor, except when that tune clutches my heart. Divine, what rapture serene, till clouds came along to disperse the joys we had tasted. And now when I hear people curse the chance that was wasted, I know but too well what they mean. So
corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.